even astral and etheric shells can hang around the earth and hang around the body. And then that can cause some problems. So, but then you look back at the ancient Egyptians and they would embalm and they would preserve the bodies. But that was actually because within the Egyptian class system, the pharaohs were essentially seen as priest kings, or like they were seen as basically spiritual beings incarnate. And so there was a desire in that process of death, if you have like a spiritual master incarnate, which is what they believed, and often in even in earlier periods, what it was, you know, the world actually did used to be guided by, you know, what is known as the Great White Brotherhood, or by spiritual masters, by human beings that had reached a certain level of completion. We actually did in earlier periods used to be led by these people. But they have stepped away so that we may lead ourselves. But there still remain certain traditions around that. And their influence is still very important. So in the Egyptian tradition, it's interesting because you don't see the embalming, you don't see the cremation of these individuals. You actually see the preservation, and you see the embalming and going to these great lengths to preserve the body, encase the body with certain stones and metals, and to ritualistically paint the gates on the wall of death. That was all a way to basically be able to continue to communicate with these great masters once they had passed over. So that was a different thing. Like, the average person's not going to need that, right? So the way that the dead were treated, the way that, say, a Buddha was treated when they died, a master was treated, you know, that was different in earlier periods because of the need to connect with the planet. They needed to stay connected. And also for the passing off of certain spiritual bodies and so on and so forth. So there were certain rites and rituals and exchanges that would go on when you have the body of like a living master or a very high initiate. They kept doing it to different figures, even though they were not at that level, obviously, because it was a tradition, and eventually anyone with money would embalm. But there was a real reason why in traditional cultures the certain beings were embalmed. Even like in Celtic cultures, why certain people were entombed. And it's the same thing. It has to do with it has to do with certain initiatory rites and connecting with that individual. So then also we see cremation and things like that, which is great, but you do see a different death process for a different type of person who has reached an exalted level. You will see that, which I think is why people get confused. You know, why are we burning bodies and why are some people embalmed? A lot of that has to do with occult traditions. Why did we mummify our bodies in earlier times? How can the Sleeping Kings myth help us with a more elaborate understanding of the death process in heaven? Okay, yes. So, it's interesting because if you look into like a lot of Eastern mysticism, usually they would do cremation. And then sometimes there would be different kinds of burials or glorification for saints. So typically when it comes to like mummification or the preservation of bodies, usually that was only done if somebody was a saint or a master or like a really highly regarded monk. Generally, the average person didn't preserve or mummify the body or have the body like become a relic or obviously like memorialized. So there were different burial rites depending on the individual. And if an individual was a holy person, that body was usually preserved. The reason being was because, well, there are many different reasons, but the most basic is that the sort of astral body of the individual would be preserved, and the individuals could then basically have a deep connection with the individual when they had passed on, because something of that entity still existed. And so it allowed the astral body to be communicable. And it allowed a connection to remain. And so, yes, that's what I can share at this point. There's sort of like a so there's similar processes that happen in the spiritual world, which has to do with when a soul gets to a certain point of their development. There can be within some individuals the ability to what is called bilocate. And at that point, when that person incarnates, they incarnate basically by, how do I say it? Almost like splitting their eye in two. And they sort of go to sleep and they incarnate on the earth. This is different than somebody who is not a spiritual master. Okay. So, this is when I was talking about Venus and that the incarnation process is different for some people because the substrate that's actually incarnating can be at a different level and thus requires a different process of incarnation, or the process is just different. And so, the idea of the Sleeping Kings is like that as well. Which is that when you have this ability to have like a dual, it's like it's I don't know, there's an Eastern word for it, and it is escaping me. It's like the Amankara. I can't remember what it is, but it's basically like the eye is split, the individuality can duplicate itself and be sleeping in one realm and active in another without ever technically having to die. Okay, this is a very advanced level of spiritual initiation that is reserved for essentially spiritual masters and like certain levels of like Buddhaship, where the individual's birth and death process is just different. Well, that the really the rebirth process is different. And so this is often symbolized by stasis. And also the idea of stasis, the idea of sleeping kings, the idea of embalming and preserving the body, they're all kind of within the same umbrella, if you will. They're not all the same thing, but they're all those things are surrounding the same archetypal process of what it is to be a spiritual master, and that the soul kind of operates differently when you get to mastership. It's not the same thing. It has a certain power to like bilocate, really. That's the only way that I can explain it. And so, what else can I say about this? I think we'll leave it there because it's sort of difficult to enter into these ideas without the appropriate lectures. So, part of this is part of the Venus mysteries. So I will get more into it there, but this is it's really the mystery of initiation and how once a human being gets to a certain point, they have different powers and capacities as an I, as an individuality. And the process of mummification, which is sort of mirroring the idea of stasis, was really only initially only for a spiritual master. And initially, the only person that would be like a priest king. So in early civilization, humanity was led by basically a priestly king. So the king was like a spiritual entity, was basically an ascended master. That's who would lead society. And then humanity had to be built up and had to develop to a point where they could become that for themselves. But in early humanity, there were spiritual masters, or in the East, you'd say the great rishis, that actually led and ruled over humanity with great love, as a master, basically. And so this carried on over time to humanity developing and becoming closer and closer to that level of intense mastership. And certain rituals remained, and one of the things that remained was this idea of keeping in mind the stasis, the idea of stasis, the idea of not like necessarily stasis as I think some people talk about it in the New Age, like it's kind of weird, but like the idea of stasis from a higher plane down, and that being mirrored in mummification and certain burial rites. But that was also, again, to not just about stasis, but a lot of that was also about certain ritualistic techniques in earlier humanity where you could actually communicate with the master through keeping a part of him, a part of his body. Basically, that's what it became like. It became very dark, you guys, eventually too. But so yeah, you wouldn't, it was really the embalming of mummification was really more about something that you did with a king or a very exalted spiritual master. But then over time, like even thousands and thousands of years ago, like obviously every pharaoh was not an ascended master. Like obviously humanity had degraded, yet was still carrying forward pieces of this once incredible tradition that really was from Atlantis and even earlier. Humanity was still carrying it with them. They were still practicing this tradition of how humanity deals with these great individualities, these Buddhas and masters, maybe even Bodhisattvas that would incarnate. There was a special way in which they were dealt with, in which they were treated, in which they were buried, in which they lived when they were the great leaders of mankind. And then that transitionary period, we only see a very small part of that with the Egyptian idea of mummification. And some of the, even when I look at the Mayan burial rites of putting on the suit and the jade mask and stuff like that, we have some pieces of how we used to teach these, how we used to treat these beautiful teachers that used to come and die for us and give us all they had. They were glorified, and the body is something that would try to be preserved and glorified as a relic to keep communicating with them. But then again, there's that aspect of sleeping kings, which is also mirrored in that, but it's different in that it has to do with how incarnation works. So it's really not something I can get too into without lecturing on certain processes that would need to be understood deeper to really get into that.